الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were reading the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma. Whenever he mentioned that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Al-Yaman. He sent him to Al-Yaman as a caller and as a judge, as an advisor, and someone to direct them and to guide them and to teach them the religion of Allah azza wa jal. And we have seen that this narration in reality is from those great narrations that are full of great benefit from many different aspects. Benefits with regards to creed and belief, and benefits with regards to seeking knowledge, and benefits with regards to the methodology in life and in calling and in learning and in teaching, and benefits with regards to the pillars of Al-Islam, benefits with regards to being just and being honest in one's dealings, benefits with regards to being pious and being afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal and afraid of mistreating the creation. So many different wonderful benefits that have been derived from this particular narration. That which indicates the greatness of this narration likewise is what we see here, that the author, he began the chapter of Zakat with this narration. And this is something that a number of the people of knowledge have all agreed upon in their works with regards to the book of Zakat, Kitab al-Zakat. We see that Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he began the book of Zakat with this particular narration. And likewise, al-Bukhari as well, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in Sahih al-Bukhari, he began Kitab al-Zakat with this narration. And also al-Baghawi in his work, Masabih al-Sunnah, he began the book of Salat with this narration. And likewise as well, after Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, Ibn Abdul Hadi al-Maqdisi in his book al-Muharrar. Before that, Majd al-Din ibn Taymiyyah in his book al-Muntaqa, Min Akhbar al-Mustafa, he began Kitab al-Zakat in this manner likewise. And after him, Ibn Abdul Hadi and al-Muharrar, he began Kitab al-Zakat with this narration. And likewise, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, as well in his work Bulugh al-Maram, he began the book of Zakat with this narration likewise, to clarify and in the greatness of this affair, the greatness of this particular narration. Also, that which will clarify the greatness and the great benefit of this narration here as well, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, not only did he begin Kitab al-Zakat with this particular narration, but likewise, he began Kitab al-Tawheed with this particular narration as well. Al-Bukhari, he has a number of books in Sahih al-Bukhari, and from them, Kitab al-Zakat. He began Kitab al-Zakat with a narration here of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending Mu'adh to al-Yaman. And likewise, the last book in Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tawheed. Kitab al-Tawheed, he began this book likewise with the narration of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, with the narration of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Also, al-Bukhari, he mentioned this narration in a number of other books, yani in Sahih al-Bukhari. So we see in Kitab al-Zakat, he began that book with that, in the Bab Wujub al-Zakat, the obligation of a Zakat. Likewise, he mentioned this narration another time in the same chapter of Zakat, but this time under the chapter Babu La Tu'khadhu Kara'im Amwal An-Nas, the chapter that the most precious wealth is not taken from the people, yani for the zakat, clarifying that this is from the benefits of this narration, that the most valuable and the most precious wealth is not an obligation, and it's not allowed to take that wealth and when taking the zakat from the people, rather what is an obligation is to give that which is moderate. Also, al-Bukhari, he mentioned in Kitab al-Zakat this narration again under another chapter. He says, Babu akhdhi sadaqa min al-aghniyai wa turaddu fil fuqara'i haythu kanu. He says, rahimahullah, the book of Zakat, the chapter taking the obligatory charity from the wealthy and distributing it amongst the poor wherever they may be. And this is an indication to the understanding of this narration from the issue of the Dhamair, the people of knowledge. They discuss this issue with regards to the pronouns in this narration. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً, inform them that Allah had made obligatory upon them a charity. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ, is taken from their wealthy. فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ, and it is distributed amongst their poor. So the people of knowledge here had studied in great detail this issue of the pronoun. What is the pronoun referring to? They're wealthy and they're poor. We have taken one benefit with regards to that, they're wealthy, meaning from the Muslims. So therefore, likewise, from the benefit of this here is that the zakat is taken from the wealth of the wealthy Muslims, not of the disbelievers. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ أي أَغْنِيَاءَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتُرَدُّ فِي أَوْ تُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. تُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ أو تُرَدُّ فِي فُقَرَائِهِمْ. Different wordings have come like this. The meaning is the same. And then it should be distributed amongst their poor, meaning amongst the Muslims likewise. So therefore, we have seen this previously as well, that the wealth also will be distributed to the Muslims only. And then this is the issue now also that we discuss, and this is what is understood from the chapter titled Al-Bukhari, that the wealth is taken from their wealthy and distributed amongst their poor wherever they may be. So this now is the issue about or the mas'ala of naqlu al-zakat min al-balad alladhi wajibat fihi. Is it allowed to transport the zakat from the land that it was obligatory to be paid in? Any person, he's in a particular land and his wealth is in a particular land. Is it allowed for him to pay his zakat in another land to the poor people of another land, or is it an obligation for him to pay the zakat to the poor people of the land where his wealth is. So the people of knowledge, they differed about this, and some of them, they mentioned that it's an obligation to pay the zakat in the land where the person is and where the wealth is, in the land where the wealth is and where it became obligatory. So if a person, he has a business in a particular land, then according to this understanding, he'll pay the zakat on that wealth in the land that he lives in. He'll pay it to the poor people of that land. But here we see the understanding of Bukhari. He says, فَتُرَدُّ فِي الْفُقَرَاءِ حَيْثُ كَانُوا, that it will be distributed amongst the poor wherever they may be. The indication that from the understanding of Bukhari and from his fiqh and the religion and his position in this issue is that it's allowed to distribute the zakat to the poor Muslims wherever they may be, meaning it's allowed to transport it to another land. And Allah knows best. This is the strongest position. It's taken from their wealthy and distributed to their poor. It's taken from the wealthy of the Muslims and distributed to the poor of the Muslims, wherever they may be. But the people of Nod, as they mentioned, no doubt, the poor people in the particular land where the wealth is and where it becomes obligatory, yani they have more right. They have more right. But if a person, he had, for example, relatives in another land, or if the people in another land were more poor or in more need, or there is a catastrophe or calamity, or great poverty and the likes like this in another land, and they were in more need, it's allowed. It could be even preferred to distribute it to transport it to distribute into another land. So this here is something likewise that is allowed. So if a person, he had to pay zakat and it's obligatory upon him here, but he has family members, relatives who deserve it, and it's allowed for them to receive it, and they're in another land, then it's allowed to distribute it to them in that other land. Then it's allowed to distribute to them in that other land. It could even be recommended, especially since we have seen that, to give charity to one's relatives, to give the zakat to one's relatives, those who qualify for it and are allowed to take it. This is considered sadaqah wasira. This is considered performing the charity and likewise keeping the ties of the relatives. Or if there are others in another land that are in severe poverty, and the people in the land where the zakat is obligatory are not in that severe state, then they will take preference, and it will be allowed to transport the zakat or to move it to another land. Plus the people of Najd, as they mentioned, that in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a number of different times, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would send individuals out to collect the zakat, and sometimes they would come back with nothing. And they would go collect it, and then they would deliver it and distribute it, and come back after have taken care of that entirety. And other times they would come back to Medina with the property and the animals and the likes that any in their possession, and give it to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this likewise is from the benefits of this narration. Also, Al Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this narration in the another book in Sahih Bukhari, and that was in Kitab al-Maghazi. Kitab al-Maghazi, and there's a benefit here, and this is what I was referring to in the previous class that I had made a mistake with regards to. So here in Kitab al-Maghazi, al-Bukhari, he mentioned, rahimahullah, Kitab al-Maghazi. Al-Maghazi are the battles and the war excursions. So it says, بَابُ بَعَثِ أَبِي مُوسَى وَمُعَاذٍ إِلَى الْيَمَنِي قَبَلَ حَجَّةِ الْوَدَعِ قَبَلَ حَجَّةِ الْوَدَعِ. So the Prophet, so al-Bukhari, he says the chapter about sending Abu Musa and Mu'adh radiallahu anhuma, both of them to al-Yemen, both of them to al-Yemen before حَجَّةِ الْوَدَعِ, before the farewell pilgrimage, which was in the 10th year. So the year that he was sent, radiallahu anhu, him and Abu Musa likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent the both of them, Abu Musa and Mu'adh radiallahu anhuma, to Yemen, each one of them to a different region in al-Yemen, but they were sent together in the 10th year, and that is the year of Hajjat al-Wada', but that was before. They went before that. The people of Najd, they differed about this issue. Some of them mentioned that it was in the 8th year, in the year of al-Fath, Fath al-Mecca, and others mentioned in the 9th year. But what Bukhari has mentioned here is that it was in the 10th year, and Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani likewise, he affirmed that. There are narrations that have come about these different years, and this is why the people of Najd, they differed about that. But Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he verified that the best and strongest position according to the evidences and the strength of those chains and the likes like that is that which has al-Bukhari he had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala. So in any case, that was in the 10th year before Hajjat al-Wada', Then also he mentioned it in another chapter, the same narration. Bukhari, he mentioned this narration 6 different times. In 1, 2, 3, and 4 different chapters. So he mentioned this. He mentioned it 3 times in the book of Az-Zakat, and he mentioned it likewise in the book of Al-Maghazi, and also he mentioned it in Kitab Al-Mazalim, the Mazalim, yani, or the actions of injustice that are taken and repaid when somebody would oppress somebody and do them wrong, and how that is handled and how that is taken care of. And when one person would wrong another and violate his rights and his wealth or in his property or in his blood or in his reputation, and how these affairs are handled and taken care of. There's a book with regards to this in Sahih Bukhari, and in that book he says, Babu al-ittiqai wal-hadari min da'wati al-mazlum, the chapter with regards to being afraid and cautious, staying away from the supplication of the one who was oppressed. And then he mentioned this narration here again. Also in the book Kitab al-Tawheed, al-Bukhari, he has a book in his Sahih called Kitab al-Tawheed. And in there he has the chapter, Babu ma ja'a fi du'a an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummatahu ila tawheedillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's the name of the chapter title. The chapter, Babu ma ja'a fi du'a an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummatahu ila tawheedillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. The chapter about that which has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling his ummah to the tawheed of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned this narration here, the narration of Mu'adh. And this is very, very similar likewise to what Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in Kitab al-Tawheed as well. He said, Babu al-du'a ila shahadati an la ilaha illallah. Bab الدُّعَاء إِلَى شَهَادَةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. In the very beginning of the book, in the very first few chapters, the chapter about the call to the testification that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. To the testification that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And then he mentioned a verse from the book of Allah, and then he mentioned after that, rahimahullah, this narration. So the people of knowledge, they have shown great care and concern with regards to this narration and narrating it in different works and different chapters and clarifying the benefits that are derived from there. And many rulings and evidences have been derived from this. And from them is a benefit that the people of knowledge, they mention, and that is that there's an evidence here in this narration that al-witr laysa biwajib. Al-witr laysa biwajib. That the witr prayer is not an obligation. It's not an obligation. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after ordering him to inform them and to call them to the shahada, the shahadatain, and he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they obey you in that, if they obey you in that, and they comply to that, and they believe in that and follow that, then inform them after that. Then inform them after that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made obligatory upon them 5 prayers in 1 day and 1 night. Five prayers in 1 day and 1 night. And Allah farada alayhim khamsa salawatin fi kulli yawmin wa layla. Fi kulli yawmin wa layla. And then, so this is the 5 daily prayers, which is the Fajr prayer, and the Dhuhr prayer, and the Asr prayer, and the Maghrib prayer, and the Isha prayer. So there's no mention of the witr prayer. So therefore, it's very clear from this evidence here that the witr is not an obligation. That the witr is not an obligation. Someone may say, what about the 2 Eid? Because the people of knowledge have mentioned that Eid, the Eid prayer, both Eids, this is an obligation. This is an obligation. Salat al-Eid is an obligation. So that was not mentioned here likewise. So that was not mentioned here likewise. Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned about this. He says, if someone were to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't mention the 2 Eid likewise. He didn't mention the 2 Eid likewise, and they're also obligatory. So therefore, this is a sign that the witr could be obligatory, because it could be not mentioned just as the Eid prayer was not mentioned. He said this is something that one could mention. If this was mentioned, then that person will be respond to that person by saying that the Eid prayer is something that comes only once a year. Something that comes only once a year, and that which was referred to here in this particular narration are the prayers that come daily and every day and every night. And from the prayers that come every night is the witr prayer. Is the witr prayer. It's prayed every night. The witr prayer is salatun ratiba. Tusalla kulla layla. Tusalla kulla layla. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning the prayers that come daily, every single day and every single night. Then those that are obligatory, that come every day and every night, they're only 5. فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَةً صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. So had the witr been an obligation, then it would have been 6, because the witr is prayed every night. So therefore, this is a strong evidence clarifying that the witr is not an obligation. It's not an obligation, although it is sunnah mu'akkadah, is highly recommended. So this was the benefit of al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. There are a number of benefits likewise other than this, and we read some of them from that which Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in Fath al-Bari. And from them is that which we referred to in the previous class about the different wordings of this narration. If you come to them, إِذَا جِئْتَهُمْ فَإِذَا جِئْتَهُمْ فَادْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. If you, when you come to them, then you call them to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And I mentioned in the previous class, likewise, there are some wordings that say, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ. Let the first thing that you call them to, the worship of Allah. Another wording, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُوَحِدُوا اللَّهِ. Is that they make the tawheed of Allah. And this wording here, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوْ فَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا. And even some, if I'm not mistaken, shahada. So the different wordings together, we'll read, then let the first thing you call them to be to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And another wording to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that I'm the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad. Another wording that the first thing that you call them to is the worship of Allah, ibadat Allah. Another wording like the first thing that you call them to, and yuwahidullah. And yuwahidullah. And that they make the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Ibn Hajar rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions some benefits with regards to this narration after contemplating on these different wordings. Yani on these different wordings here. And he says, فَأَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ. This has come likewise. فَإِذَا عَرَفُ اللَّهِ. And this wording here, فَإِذَا عَرَفُ اللَّهِ. So he in the narration that we're reading from, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ. If they obey you in that. If they obey you in that. But here there's another wording that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and he, let the first thing that you call them to is to the worship of Allah. فَإِذَا عَرَفُ اللَّهِ. And if they know Allah, and he meaning through his worship, by worshiping him and singling him out with all actions of worship, then inform them of the salah. Then inform them of the salah. And another wording, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِدُوا اللَّهِ فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ. Let the very first thing that you call them to is to the tawheed of Allah, to sing Allah alone in worship. And if they know that, then after that, and you inform them of the salah. So Ibn Hajar, he says, وَيُجْمَعُ بَيْنَهَا بِأَنَ الْمُرَادَ بِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَوْحِيدُهُ وَبِتَوْحِيدِهِ الشَّهَادَةُ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ وَلِنَبِيِّهِ بِالرِّسَالَةِ وَبِنَبِيِّهِ بِالرِّسَالَةِ. So in combining in these narrations, we see what is intended by the worship of Allah is the tawheed of Allah. By the worship of Allah is the tawheed of Allah. And what is intended by the tawheed of Allah is the shahada, to testify to him with his tawheed and to his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with messengership, and that he has received the message. So this is the understanding of the shahada. The shahada is tawheed, and the tawheed is the shahada. This is what is understood from these narrations. And likewise, the shahada is ibadah, and ibadah is tawheed. These words, they're different. They have different understandings or different meanings specifically, but they all have the same idea. And that is to sing without Allah alone for all acts of worship. That is what is required from the ibadah that we're created for. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. What does that mean, to worship me alone? إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ. Except to make the tawheed of me. So these narrations here, they clarify that meaning. They clarify that meaning. What is the shahada that we bear witness to? What is intended from that and what is required from that? That you make the tawheed of Allah. That you worship no one except for Allah alone. And that you do not call on anyone except for Allah. Do not supplicate to anyone except for Allah. Do not put your trust or your reliance or your hope upon anyone except for Allah. Do not fear anyone except for Allah. Except for Allah. You do not give salat or zakat or hajj or any action of worship. Make tawaf for anyone except for Allah. This is what this means here. This is what the shahada means. And this is understood by gathering these narrations. We discussed this before in another narration. Likewise, by gathering the different wordings of the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Buniya al-Islam wa ala khams. And different wordings have come about that. Whenever it's mentioned the shahada. Whenever it's mentioned the shahada. And يَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَيَكْفُرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِهِ. Some of the wordings likewise clarifying the meaning of the shahada. To worship Allah alone and to disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. To disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. These are from the greatest benefits derived from the likes of these narrations. Derived from the likes of these narrations to understand the intent and the requirement and the true meaning of the shahadatain. What they mean. And what they require and what they necessitate, and how to establish that and how to establish that. So Ibn Hajar, he says now, وَوَقَعَتَ الْبَدَاءَةُ بِهِمَا لِأَنَّهُمَا أَصْلُ الدِّينِ الَّذِي لَا يَسِحُ شَيْءٌ غَيْرَهُمَا إِلَّا بِهِمَا. He said, and the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began with the two shahada is because they're the foundation of the religion, and nothing else is accepted without them. Nothing else is accepted without them. So shahadatan, aslun fi nafsiha, al-shahada, aslun fi nafsiha, wa aslun li ghayriha. This is what the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, the shahada is a fundamental foundation in itself, and likewise for everything else. And anything that is not based upon the shahadatan, it will never be accepted. it will never be accepted. And this statement is the highest statement and the greatest statement and the most beneficial statement and the best word and the best word. And it is the key to paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a good understanding of this statement, to make it easy for us to realize that and to apply it and to abide by it and to live by it and to die upon it by His grace and His mercy. Likewise, Ibn Hajar, he mentioned here as well, وَاسْتُدِلَّ بِهِ عَلَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَكْفِي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ الْاَكْتِصَارُ عَلَى شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ حَتَّى يُضِيفَ إِلَيْهَا شَهَادَةَ لِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ بِالرِّسَالَةِ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ الْجُمْهُورِ. Also, there's an evidence here in this particular narration that it's not sufficient. It's not enough. It's not sufficient. It's not enough for a person to suffice with testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Rather, he also has to add in addition to that in his testification that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if a person, he bore witness and he testified that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, but he did not bear witness and testify to the messengership of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not be a Muslim and he will not enter into the fold of al-Islam. He will not enter into the fold of al-Islam. This is from the benefits here. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَوْفَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They have to call him to both. The first thing that you do, you call him to both of these affairs. They come hand in hand. They come together in this manner, in this manner like this. And one of them is not accepted without the other. And one of them is not accepted without the other. There's another great benefit that he mentioned, rahimahullah, with regards to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ. This is also a benefit derived from understanding the Arabic language, as well as understanding حروف الجر. And this is something to encourage the brothers who are studying and learning. We study about حرف جر وَأَنَّهُ يَجُرُّ الْإِسْمِ حرف جر إسم مجرور. The likes like this, in the حرف جر it has meanings. But this is just on the surface and the fundamentals and the foundations behind that. And after that, there are great benefits and rulings that are derived from understanding these affairs. Like we have seen, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ فِي فُقَرَائِهِمْ. And there's great benefits derived just from that pronoun there. Just from that pronoun there. And the understanding that the people of knowledge have had with regards to this and the obligations of performing zakat properly are derived from that understanding. Understanding pronouns. Huwa, huma, hum, fuqara, ihim. Like this. And this is how so important it is to learn and to master those pronouns and the understanding of the Arabic language to truly benefit in one's religion. From that here, the harf jar. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ. أَطَاعُوا لَكَ. The verb أَطَاعَ is called فِي الْمُتَعَدِّي. And فِي الْمُتَعَدِّي. It doesn't have to have harf jar. You can say إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ. إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ. And if they obey you. And this is the origin with this particular verb in the first place, but that you did not use harf jar. That you did not use harf jar. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ بِذَلِكَ. So Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, what does this mean? شَهِدُوا وَانْقَادُوا. شَهِدُوا وَانْقَادُوا. That إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ بِذَلِكَ. If they obey you in this, meaning if they bear witness to that and comply. This is whenever you tell them about salah. If they bear witness to that and comply. And comply to that, then this is then you move to the next stage, to the next step. But how did he understand? The first word, shahidu. That's clear. That's the word in the text. But where did he get the next word from? Wanqadu. And they complied. So here we have the mention of the shahada to make the testimony of faith along with al-inqiyad, which is a condition of the shahada. It's understood here. It's understood here. So he says, has come in other words likewise. فَإِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوا لِذَلِكَ. Also here, لِذَلِكَ. And إِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوا لِذَلِكَ. Also you can say in the Arabic language, إِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوكَ. But again, he brought the lamb. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used the harf jar. Hu afsah al-arab. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most eloquent. And he knows what he's saying. And he doesn't speak from his desires. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. يُوحَى. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned these affairs like this: إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ, إِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوا لِذَلِكَ, لِذَلِكَ. So Ibn Hajar, he says another word is فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ. And if they know that, he says here عُدِّيَ أَطَاعَ بِاللَّامِ وَإِنْ كَانَ يَتَعَدَّى بِنَفْسِهِ لِتَضَمُّنِهِ مَعْنَى إِنْقَادَ.
وَاسْتُدِلَّ بِهِ عَلَى أَنَّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَيْسُوا بِعَارِفِينَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ وَيُظْهِرُونَ مَعْرِفَتَهُ وَيُظْهِرُونَ مَعْرِفَتَهُ.
So here, the word انقياد, which means compliance, a willful submission and obedience and compliance, surrender. This is understood likewise from this statement here, if they obey you in that, لِذَلِكَ إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا أَوْ لَكَ إِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ أَوْ إِنْ أَجَابُوا لِذَلِكَ. Like this, instead of using the verb in the normal sense with taking the object directly, he used the harf jar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this brings this new meaning of al-inqiyad. And al-inqiyad is from the most beautiful and important realities of al-Islam. Al-inqiyad. Al-inqiyad. To be a true Muslim, you must make al-istislam. Wal-inqiyad lillahi bi-ta'ah. To fulfill the rights of Tawheed and the rights of the Shahada, one, he must comply to Allah in obedience. He must comply to Allah in obedience. He must submit with his body parts in obedience to Allah. Use his eyes and his ears and his hands and his heart and his feet in the obedience of Allah. Get his money in the obedience of Allah. Deal with his family in the obedience of Allah. Deal with his wife in the obedience of Allah. Go throughout the land in the obedience of Allah. Avoiding disobedience, staying away from the prohibitions. Like this, that's called inqiyad, al-istislam. That's the reality of al-islam. Al-islam hu al-istislamu lillahi bi-tawheed. Wal-inqiyadu lahu bi-ta'ah. Wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. So all of these benefits here are derived from this narration, this great and most beneficial narration. So also whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the first, fi'in arafullah, if they knew Allah, then you tell them about a salat. فَإِنْ عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ. Then if they know the salat, then you tell them about the zakat. The people of knowledge likewise mention this is an indication that the Jews and the Christians, they do not know Allah. They do not know Allah. And this is the case, anybody who does not single out Allah alone in worship, he does not know Allah. He does not know Allah. Anyone who does not believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not know Allah. Anyone who denies or belies any one of the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla that are affirmed and established in the book, in the sunnah, in reality, he does not know Allah. He does not know Allah. One will not know Allah except by submitting and surrendering to that which has come in the Quran and the Sunnah. And to believe in that which has come in the manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these all here are great benefits. Here he says, لَمْ يَقَعْ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ ذِكْرُ الصَّوْمِ وَالْحَجِّ مَعَ أَنَّ بَعْثَ مُعَاذٍ كَمَا تَخَدَّمَ كَانَ فِي آخِرِ الْأَمْرِ. So he says that there's no mention here of the fasting nor of the pilgrimage, along with the fact that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was sent in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning no doubt that the fasting and the hajj was from the pillars of faith, from the pillars of Islam, and they were legislated at this time. They're legislated at this time. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't order him to inform them about that. He only ordered him to inform them about the Shahada and the Salah and the Zakat. So somebody may say, why didn't he mention sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the fasting and the Hajj, whenever these are all from the pillars of al-Islam. From the pillars of al-Islam. So some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned Ibn Hajar, he mentioned rahimahullah, بأن الاهتمام أو اهتمام الشارع بالصلاة والزكاة أكثر. ولهذا كرر في القرآن فمن ثم لم يذكر الصوم والحج في هذا الحديث مع أنهما من أركان الإسلام. He said, so the legislator, yani meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, he has shown greater concern, the greater concern for the Salah and the Zakat, yani more concern for the Salah and the Zakat, and for this reason they're repeated over and over together in the Quran. We look how many times the fasting is mentioned or the Hajj is mentioned throughout the Quran compared to how many times Salat is mentioned and Zakat is mentioned, then the numbers are few. The Salat and the Zakat, they're mentioned together many times throughout the Quran in many different places, in many different chapters, in many different chapters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed more concern with regards to this, more care in mentioning the issue of the Salat and the Zakat. This is number one. He says, وَسِرُّ فِي ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ وَالزَّكَاةَ إِذَا وَجَبَ عَلَى الْمُكَلِّفِ لَا يَسْقُطَانِ عَنْهُ عَصْلًا بِخِلَافِ الصَّوْمِ فَإِنُّهُ قَدْ يَسْقُطُ بِالْفِدْيَةِ وَالْحَجِّ فَإِنَّ الْغَيْرَ قَدْ يَكُومُ مَقَامَهُ فِيهِ كَمَا فِي الْمَعْضُوبِ كَمَا فِي الْمَعْضُوبِ. He said, and the secret behind this, why the concern for the salah and the zakat is greater.
is greater is because, and Allah knows best, that the salah and the zakat, if they become obligatory on a person, they never fall off. If they become obligatory on a person, if the salah becomes obligatory on an individual, meaning he reaches the age of puberty and he has his sanity, it doesn't fall off. So long as he has his sanity and he's alive. If he can't stand, he will sit. If he can't sit, he will lay down. If he can't stand, he will sit. If he can't sit, he will lay down. If he has no way to make wudu, he prays how he is. He prays how it will never fall off. It will never fall off. He will always be obliged. It would always be mandatory and obligatory for him to pray so long as he's alive and he has his sanity. So long as he's alive and he has his sanity. Likewise, the wealth. Whenever the wealth, the obligation comes on that wealth, it doesn't fall off whatsoever. It doesn't fall off whatsoever. The obligation remains until he performs that obligation. Until he performs that obligation. So this is contrary to the issue of fasting, because fasting, maybe it will fall off. And even possibly a person, maybe he'll be sick, or maybe an individual, he will be of old age and he will not be able to fast. And the obligation of that will fall off of him, and he in place of that will pay the ransom. He'll pay the expiation and he'll feed the poor for every day. Somebody who has a terminal illness, he's not able to fast. Somebody who is of old age, he's not able to fast. He will not fast. The obligation of fasting will fall off. How would he fulfill that pillar of fasting? Now he will perform that obligation by paying the fidya and feeding a poor person. Likewise, in the issue of the Hajj, for example, the one who is old or the one who is sick and not able to travel, and he's not able to travel, it's allowed for him to substitute and go in his place, for somebody to make Hajj on his behalf, and for him to give the money to somebody and to pay them because he's too old, he's not able to travel, he's not able to move in the likes like this, but he has the wealth, he'll pay somebody else to make Hajj on his behalf. For even if he does not have the wealth, it will not be obligatory in the first place. It would not be obligatory in the first place. As for the salah, then it's always obligatory. As for the zakat, and once it becomes obligatory, it's always obligatory. Not to mention the issue of the salah, it's repeated 5 times a day. And this is as-sila al-wathiqa bayna al-abdi wa bayna rabbihi. This is the strong bond. This is the strongest bond and connection and relationship between the slave and his Lord. Between the slave and his Lord. If you bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for him, and you bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that there's 5 daily prayers. Every single day and night, that is the strongest bond between the believer and his Lord. Between the believer and his Lord, he goes through the land and he's running through his life and he's doing with the dealings and the likes like this. And then he remembers it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to worship Allah. It's time to remember Allah. Maybe he forgot, but then he remembers. So that bond is strengthened, and that relationship is strong, and it's kept nourished and cultivated and remains strong daily and tight. The bond is tight. The aqidah is strong by establishing the prayer in that proper manner. So this one, it never falls off. So for this reason, Allah knows best, it's mentioned here in this manner. Also, he mentioned another other benefits to clarify yani this issue. He said, إِذَا كَانَ الْكَلَامُ فِي بَيَانِ الْأَرْكَانِ لَمْ يُخِلْ الشَّارِعْ مِنْهُ بِشَيْءٍ كَحَدِيثِ بِنِ عُمَرْ بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَى خَمْسٍ. If the topic of discussion is about the pillars of faith, then they will be mentioned, all of them. And for example, if an individual, he's discussing the pillars of al-Islam, he'll not just mention one or two, he'll mention all of them. Like in the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Buni al-Islamu ala khams, the religion of Islam is based upon 5. And he mentioned all 5 of them. So if a person, he's discussing the pillars of al-Islam, he'll mention every one of them and clarify them. This is contrary to the issue of da'wah. Calling to the people. When you're calling to the people, you don't necessarily mention all 5 pillars at one time, or all of the sacred rites of Islam at one time. Rather, you mention the ones that are most important and take priority. The ones that are most important and take priority. So if the discussion is about the pillars of al-Islam, arkan al-Islam, then all of them, they will be mentioned and clarified. But if the issue is about calling the people to al-Islam, then sometimes the issue will suffice with these 3 pillars here. Any of that which would be a means for them to enter into the fold of al-Islam. So this is what he says. فَإِذَا كَانَ فِي الدُّعَاءِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ اُكْتُفِيَ بِالْأَرْكَانِ الثَّلَاثَ الشَّهَادَ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْدَ وَجُودِ فَرْضِ الصَّوْمِ وَالْحَجِّ. He said, and as for whenever one is calling to al-Islam,
then one could suffice with mentioning only the first three pillars, which is the Shahada and the Salah and the Zakat, even after the obligation of the fasting and the Hajj. كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. Another verse, فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. And as for if they repent and they establish the prayer and they pay the zakat, then let them free, or then they will be your brothers in the religion. And if they repent from shirk, meaning enter into the fold of Islam by testifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and establish the salah and perform the zakat, then they will be your brothers in the religion. And these verses are in Surah At-Tawbah, which is from the last of the chapters to be revealed from the Noble Quran. An indication of this. So he says, في موضعين من براءة مع أن نزولها بعد فرض الصوم والحج قطعا. And then after that he says, وَأَلْسُوا the narration of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما أُمِلْتُ أَنُ قَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُتُوا زَكَاهَا. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that I was ordered to fight the people until they bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and they establish the prayer and they give the zakat. وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. And other than that from the narrations. Now he mentions here al-hikmah, the wisdom behind this. He says, وَالْحِكْمَةُ فِي ذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْأَرْكَانَ الْخَمْسَةِ اعْتِقَادِيٌ وَهُوَ الشَّهَادَةِ وَبَدَنِيٌ وَهُوَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمَالِيٌ وَهُوَ الزَّكَاةِ وَاكْتَصَرَ فِي الدُّعَاءِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ عَلَيْهَا لِتَفَرُّعِ الْرُكْنَيْنِ الْأَخِيرَيْنِ عَلَيْهَا. So he says now that the pillars of Al-Islam, the wisdom behind this is that the pillars of Al-Islam, there are five. From these pillars, there's a pillar that's with regards to creed and belief and faith and the heart, and that is the Shahada. And likewise, there are pillars that are related to the actions of the bodies of the body, and that is the Salah. And after that, likewise, there's a pillar that's related to the finances, to the wealth, and that is the Zakat. So with regards to calling the people to Al-Islam, then one could suffice with this here, in this manner, calling them to these affairs here, to the obligation of the creed and the obligation of the body and the obligation of the wealth. And this is because after that, the other two pillars, they're based or they're proceeding from this affair. He says, فَإِنَّ السَّوْمَ بَدَنِيٌ مَحْضٌ وَالْحَجَّ بَدَنِيٌ مَالِيٌ. He said, because the fasting is purity from the body, and as for the Hajj, then it is from the body and from the wealth. From the body and from the wealth. So these here, they're proceeding from that. And meaning, he says, فَكَلِمَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ هِيَ الْأَصْلُ وَهِيَ شَاقَةٌ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ وَالصَّلَوَاتُ شَاقَةٌ لِتَكَرُّرِهَا وَالزَّكَاةُ شَاقَةٌ لِمَا فِي جِبِلَّةِ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ حُبِّ الْمَالِ فَإِذَا أَذْعَنَ الْمَرْءُ لِهَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَ كَانَ مَا سِوَاهَا أَسْهَلَ عَلَيْهِ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَيْهَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. He said, and also the Shahada, to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the hardest part upon the disbelievers. This is the hardest issue upon the disbelievers. So when he'll begin with that, and likewise the prayer is also from the hardest aspects, likewise because it repeats. It's being repeated every day, all throughout the day. It's being repeated every day, all throughout the day. And the zakat likewise is from the hardest affairs as well, because from the natural disposition created in the insan, created in the human being, that he loves wealth. So likewise, there's a difficulty there. So if a person is able to establish these affairs, if he's able to establish that shahada and to leave disbelief in the customs and the cultures and the ways of his people and the creeds of his forefathers and enter into the fold of Islam, and he's able to get himself upright upon the five daily prayers, and he's able to overcome his desires and his love for wealth and give it for the sake of Allah, anything after that will be easy for him. Everything after that will be easy for him. He'll be waiting for Ramadan to come. He'll be waiting for the opportunity to make Hajj. And because the one who has submitted and surrendered in this manner, he will taste the sweetness of faith. And he will find the benefits of that. So everything after that will be easy for him to comply to. And for this reason, the Sawm and the Hajj was not mentioned in this particular narration, even though they were considered obligatory already. This is a great benefit. And we see the great care and concern the people of knowledge they have had with regards to clarifying the details and the benefits and the rulings and the legislation and removing doubts, likewise of the people of whims and desires and those
who do not believe in Allah and the last day, and they do not believe in the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find that the scholars of today and previously before them, they have refuted those doubts and clarified the falsehood of them and mentioned the beauties of al-Islam and clarified that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that what she came with is revelation, and that what she came with is truth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.